The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all as we gather this Lord's Day. Part of the excitement of the day has been a fire alarm that we know goes off, but we can't make it go off now. And so if you have tried to use the elevator, we are trying our best to turn the fire alarm off to make the elevator work. But it is set up in a way that when the fire alarm is going off, the elevator does not work. And so again, we have covered the light here in the sanctuary. But again, we will hopefully by the end of the service have the elevators back working. And we are being the church together by helping each other get in and out of the sanctuary. Let us now continue in our preparation for worship as we read responsively the call to worship as found in the bulletin this morning. Let us read together from Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, "Turn back, you mortals." For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. So teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. O prosper the work of our hands. As we have joined together in praise, let us now join together in prayer, praying first the printed prayer of confession and then follow it with our silent confession. Let us pray. God of the future, God of the now, God of all that has been, we confess that we have not looked for your kingdom among us, for we live casual lives, ignoring your promised judgment. We skip over the pain and poverty of others. We no longer cry out for justice for those most deprived. We have been satisfied to be entertained and to be amused. In your mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your way and then to seek the things that will endure, to practice the generosity we find in you, and to trust in your goodwill in all that is before us. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Since God has forgiven us in Christ, we are then free to share that forgiveness with one another, indeed to share the peace of God. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us share words and expressions of peace one with another. Our first scripture lesson of the morning will be read by Eliza Norell.
Hear God's revelation to us as it comes through the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." May the Lord bless to us the reading and understanding of God's word.
I invite our children forward now for our time with the children with Bryce Elliott. Thank you.
All right, good morning, everybody. Look at this. This is a lot of people. All right, it's good to see all of you. How many of you came to the harvest party? And at the harvest party, to get to do some of the fun things, you had to bring some gifts. Like maybe you brought a present, or maybe you brought some canned food. What was that present like? Does anybody know? What was the can of food like? It was helping people around the world. But let me ask you something. Was the food used or was it new? Was it a new can? Did you bring a new can with you?
A new can.
And when you brought a present, if you brought a present, maybe it was a shirt or a game, was it an old game that you'd had for a long time or was it a new one?
It was new.
It was new. Because just like we're gonna talk more about that story that you just heard. There was a woman who, when she came to church, she gave her best when she came to church. And so when you come to church and do things, you want to give your best. Look at how all of you are dressed. You're all dressed very nice. You're dressed nice because we want you to give your best when you come to worship God, okay? It's very important that when we come to do things for God or worship for God, we want to give our best, all right? All right, let's bow our heads and pray. You're going to have a baby sister, and that'll be awesome. All right, let's pray, Big Charlie. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would help us give our best every day, each week, for as long as we live, Lord. Just help us to give our best, just like the woman in the story that we just heard gave her best as she was walking into church, Lord. We pray all this in your name. Amen. All right.
Let us pray. Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. And may we be decreased in order that Christ might increase among us. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our scripture reading for the morning, Psalm 127, has often been a puzzle to readers and to interpreters, because there seems to be two separate poems, two separate verses. One is about the provision of God in all things, and then the second is the blessing of children. And many have suggested they are simply two separate psalms, two separate verses, two different hymns that got put together in the book and they landed beside each other. And there's also a question of translation in the final line of the first verse or first half. So listen this morning to these two separate texts, and I will point out the translation question in the middle. Psalm 127, a song of ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guard keeps watch in vain. It is in vain you rise up early and go late to rest, and eating the bread of anxious toil. For he, and here's the translation question, for he, God, gives sleep to his beloved, or God gives to his beloved in sleep while they're sleeping. And then the shift. Sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons of one's youth. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. He shall put to shame when he speaks with his, he shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Two distinct verses in this psalm, two stanzas. One, a reflection on God's provision in the midst of our daily task of building and watching and working. And then God's provision of children. And perhaps you hear the connection there, that the primary example of God's providence, well, it could be children. We build, we watch, we work, but there's the blessing of family. Now remember that this is in ancient times, in a day when there's not an in-depth understanding of human conception. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that a child is conceived. A fairly repeatable miracle, one that we have some part in. In most cases. But a childless wife was spoken of as barren. And there was some shadow of God over their lives. Somehow it was their fault. This amazing gift of God, conception, yes, in most cases. 20 years ago, when word got out in my former congregation that we were going to adopt a child, there was a lot of warm-hearted interest in the congregation. It was kind of a buzz going on. But there was also a bit of curiosity beyond interest. Yeah, well, let me explain. Once when I was out of the office, a church member, a woman, stopped in, and she was fishing for information about what the Penders were doing after having two birth children, now adopting a third child. And But our most direct attempt at information went this way. Isn't it a shame that Sherry can't have any more children? As if there was a female problem. My church administrator wanted to say, how do you know the problem isn't William in the equation? Like our current church office staff, she knew when it was best just to nod and keep silence. Though she did enjoy telling me about it later. But today we're not to approach Psalm 127 with the questions of barrenness and the shadow of God, whether male or female. No, our perspective this morning is set for the theme for today and for the next several Sundays in the lectionary readings. And that's time. God's amazing gift of time. We spent most of the month of October, of course, talking about stewardship, which for many that's a code word for money. But you know, time is much more important, much more valuable. Some of you remember the old Jack Benny routine. A comedian of a former generation who played the persona of the cheapskate, the real tightwad. He couldn't let go of money, a penny pincher to the nth degree. And the scene is this, a thug accosts Jack Benny with a gun and says, "Your money or your life? This is a stick up." And there's a pause. The thug says with exasperation, "I said, bud, your money or your life." And Jack Benny says, "I'm thinking it over. Money or life?" The humor in the situation, of course, is the recognition we get confused about what's vital and what's important. After all, our house is important, isn't it? I mean, our house is important. But generations of the people of Israel lived in tents, had no houses. The text says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Surely security is important. That's why we have fire alarms, isn't it? That's why we have alarms on our homes. We lock our doors. We build better bombs. What do we call stocks and bonds? They're securities. But the text says, unless the Lord watches over the city, those who watch, those who keep guard, watch in vain. And then, of course, there's work. We can work it out, can't we? Can't we get what we want through work? Do I really have to point out the ways work fails us? The person who's had a dream that her dream in life is to have a craft shop and she'll make homemade dolls and she'll sell them and this will be her life. And the economy says, no, thank you, and she goes bankrupt. The well-established company says, we're done. And faithful employees are out of luck. The person who works for 40 years to make it to the golden years of retirement only to hear, Sir, the tests have come back. The tumor is malignant. This will be your last Christmas. Here's the way the text puts it. It is in vain you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for God gives sleep to his beloved, or God gives to his beloved in sleeping, while they sleep. Work is not the final answer either. What's really important? Not our house, not our efforts at security, not our labor. No, it's the provision by God. And the greatest provision by God is time. God gives us time. Here's what's going on in this text. God gives to us while we're sleeping, while we're not working, while we're not watching, while we're not building. God gives beforehand, before all the frenetic activity that makes our lives. To understand this more clearly, it's helpful to understand the Hebrew conception of a day. Of a day, of that basic element of time. You and I typically speak of our day beginning in the morning. We want to get a first start on the day. We speak of the dawn as daybreak, day breaking in. But the Hebrew conception of the day is not that at all. When do your Jewish friends gather for Sabbath? Friday evening. Because the Sabbath doesn't begin on Saturday morning, it begins Friday night. The day begins with evening. You may recall that Genesis chapter 1 story of creation, how it says there was evening and morning the first day. There was evening and morning the second day. How would we have said that? We would have said, oh, there's morning and there's evening. That's a day. No. The Hebrew conception of a day is it begins with evening. When no work can be done. Remember, this is the day before electric lights and very few oil lamps. Night meant stopping everything. Everything stops except God. God works through the night. You see, when we wake up early and start early, God has already been at work hours before we got there. And remember the question of translation here. Both alternatives fit. God gives his beloved sleep. What a gift it is to be able to sleep. We have a few practicing the gift now. I couldn't resist. But go without sleep, and you know what a gift it is. But I think the more likely translation is this. God gives to his beloved in sleep, during sleep, while they're sleeping. God is building, watching, working, creating, sustaining. Here's the faith point for today. God's gift of time always comes with what theologians call prevenient grace. Prevenient. It's just a fancy word for saying something that comes beforehand. Prevenient. The coming of grace beforehand. Our work of building, protecting, forming families, it all depends on prevenient grace. While we were sleeping, while we were unaware, while we had no responsibility, God was working. And the greatest misunderstanding of life is that it's all up to us. When God has been working beforehand. Now, I want to be clear. Faith is not about being irresponsible. But it is not all up to us. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, those who guard watch in vain. Build, watch, work, form relationships, but it is not all up to us. All too often we live our lives in what the writer Parker Palmer calls functional atheism. He says people of faith regularly practice functional atheism. We give lip service to our faith, but then we make our decisions based on what we really want to happen. And even when we believe in God, trust that God will do the right thing, we know it really comes down to it depends on me. You got to do it yourself. Palmer writes, this belief that the ultimate responsibility for everything rests with me, it's with those people who affirm there's a higher power than themselves, but their behavior betrays their belief. It's that unconscious belief that leads to workaholic behavior, to burnout, to stress and strained broken relationships, to unhealthy priorities. Functional atheism is the reason why the average group, according to studies, can tolerate only 15 seconds of silence. People believe if they're not making noise, nothing is happening. God's greatest gift is time. And before any of us can waste time, enjoy time, fulfill time, God was at work. Prevenient grace, the coming beforehand of the work of God, the handiwork of God in all our building, all our watching, all our laboring, all our family raising. Let me give you a parable of what I'm addressing. Old man Mr. Ferry Geddes was a beloved member of the congregation. He just saw things that needed to be done. A light bulb was out in the church building. He just replaced it. The hinge creaked. He oiled it. After worship, he wandered around and made sure all the doors were locked. He did those kind of things that no one paid any attention to except when they didn't happen. You know, when you turned on the light switch and the light bulb didn't come on. and the doors that were supposed to be locked weren't locked. Or you came in on a Sunday morning, on a cold Sunday morning, and the heat had not been turned on. One Sunday after worship, when I was one of the last ones to leave, I saw Ferry Geddes trying to get his car started. And I could see it because this is what I saw. Here he was, old Mr. Geddes, sitting in his car, driver's seat, with the driver door open. And his left leg was out the door on the ground. And I could see he was pushing really hard with that left leg. Some of you are already here. This is a manual transmission. Mr. Geddes did not drive automatic transmission. He wanted to change the gears. And the way you can crank a standard transmission, a manual transmission, is you can hold the clutch in and get the car rolling. And once it's rolling, pop the clutch and the car will crank up. I could see Mr. Geddes was trying to crank his car on a flat road. I yelled out, "I got jumper cables." He was deaf as a doorpost, didn't hear. So I simply went behind his car. He's still pushing with all his worth, and I got behind the car and I began to push. And all of a sudden his left leg started to move. It started to move that car, and the car started rolling down the street. He popped the clutch and drove away. He never knew I was behind the car. Friends, too often we think our time is up to us and we've got that left foot out the door and we are pushing for all we're worth, unaware of God's great push. That's why our time in worship is never wasted. Whether we sing the right hymns or not, whether we have the right music or not, whether the service goes too long or not, because it's at worship we pause and we remember. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor build in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, those who keep guard watch in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For God gives to His beloved in sleep. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we give you thanks for the pause to remember time and to remember behind all time is you, the giver. Bless, O God, our time of building, of laboring, of guarding, of raising. That our lives will reflect you, the great giver of all. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Friends, let us confess what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let us stand and affirm our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The word is that our elevators are still not working, but we will have the church van parked out front on the State Street side, and we will run the circuit back down to the parking lot. So the easiest way to exit, if you would like to get to your cars in the lower section, will be to go outside, and Gordon Ford will have the van there, and we will provide, what do you call that, courtesy van service or something like that. Limos will provide limo service for you this morning. Go to the ramp. You can also go through this door, and there is a ramp along the outside door of the church. So if steps are a problem, exit to your left and then keep going to the left and use the ramp. But we will have plenty of folks to help get you to your cars. This is the life of the church, and we have begun. I invite you, if you have not done so, to take a moment to look at the Turnip Patch Times and the opportunities for participation in our mission and ministry together. My next announcement is a self-serving announcement because it is about our serving each other, and it's found in the bottom right corner of the back of your Turnip Patch Time. It is next Sunday. We will have a potluck lunch, and there's an alphabet listing for what we would ask you to help serve and bring. It is self-serving because it is staff appreciation lunch. So I hope that you will plan on being a part of the service next week, and as we particularly say to some thanks to Paul and I hear a lot of thank yous, but there are other folks that make us look so much better than we are, and I hope that you will be there to help show them appreciation and part of the lunch next week. Again, I invite you to take note of these announcements and act upon those that fit your capabilities and interest. Let us now continue in worship with our prayers of the people.
As you gather your thoughts for prayer, I would encourage you to remember folks in Fort Hood, Texas. And wasn't the day after there was some sort of a shooting in Orlando? There's enough violence, enough senseless violence to go around, it seems. I will. And in addition to remembering those concerns closer to home, as we have I know you have noticed we have a guest organist who we are very appreciative to Jim Bloy for being here. Thank you very much. Ashley Burrell, however, continues to need our prayers. Ashley had lithotripsy. I don't know what he had. He had lithotripsy, I guess, for a kidney stone this past week and has another one coming up. Please remember Ashley in your prayers as well. And, of course, all of our veterans as we remember the sacrifice they made. Let us pray together. Oh God, we thank you for watching over us, for building our house, for guarding our city, for granting us rest in our sleep. And yet we confess this day that we have not always done what we have preached, we have not meant what we have prayed. In many ways, we have cleaned the outside of the cup without first cleaning the inside. Forgive us. Forgive us for laying heavy burdens on others while refusing to help. Forgiving us for having sought places of honor while leaving others in places of harm. Forgive us for having built shrines for yesterday's prophets and monuments for yesterday's saints while crucifying the prophets and stoning the saints of today. Oh God, I'm afraid we have stood outside the gates of your kingdom and have barred others from entering. And we have even tithed sweetly, offering up herbs and spices while neglecting the weightier matters of justice and mercy and faith. Oh God, we have taken your provision for granted, and we have wasted time, and we've confused life with lesser things. Oh God, this day we ask you to build our house, to watch over us, to bless our toil and our rest. And we ask that you would give rest and grace and comfort to those who are mourning the terrible tragedies in Fort Hood and Orlando and around the world. We ask that you'd be with our friend Ashley, and that you would be with all of those who have sacrificed for our nation's sake, for our sake. In gratitude, may we live our lives. And, O God, hear us as we pray together in faith the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I would like to encourage you to pass the friendship book stand along your pew, and if you have not done so already, please include any changes of information. If you have a prayer request, write it in. They will be taken up following the service. We will remember your prayers in the church office during the week. And I would also encourage you to pay attention to the names of those beside you and greet one another by name following the service. Today is the 32nd Sunday of Ordinary Time. Our liturgical year is rapidly coming to a close. On this day, let us present our tithes and offerings to the Lord.
Oh,
God, we have made to you our contribution, to you and to this world and all who dwell therein. Remind us not to scramble to sit in the most honorable places or rush to recite the longest prayers, but let us in our giving offer up all the living we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you now and forever. Amen.